Those are the Trogs. Love is all around. Of course, you wouldn't know that by the way our leaders act sometimes. Hi, this is Charles. For those of you linking in from other websites, welcome on this site, on this broadcast, democraticfundamentalism.org. We have links from independent news sources to substantiate all of the topics discussed in this broadcast. Just look for the ongoing report of the Daily News in Review. As I always say, you don't have to take my word for anything. I don't have to make this stuff up. DemocraticFundamentalism.org. Well, let's see. Love is all around us and war is breaking out all over. That's what happens when the supposed leader of the free world starts implementing policies of mass destruction. The propaganda of the Bush administration has the entire world in an uproar, and it's time to put an end to it. We'll get into that more in a moment, I guarantee you. The Palestinians have implemented general strikes. South Africa is about to erupt. Cote d'Ivoire, I almost always say that right, the Ivory Coast, is facing a possible civil war after what is apparently a failed coup. 270 people are dead, 300 injured, and France has sent in troops where so-called rebels are holding a town where there's a Christian camp of children. Americans are urged to stay away. School children are surrounded in the Ivory Coast. You need to understand what war looks like to fully appreciate it. So we put a picture in there that I stole from CNN. I promise I'll only do it this one time. But war is not pretty. And it should be seen and appreciated for what it is. Some people call it hell. About 200 school children and staffers, including 160 American students, remain trapped Monday in a boarding school for a fifth straight day as a bloody military uprising continued to rage. Our economy is in shambles. The nation is facing the potential for a human disaster in the form of Hurricane Isidore, not to mention Kyle and Lily that are coming our way. First it was Europe and Asia, now it's our turn. Floods, you know, ruining things, people dying, and our environment is under attack as well. Is it preventable? Well, that remains to be seen. Donnie twists the truth again. Of course, I'm talking about Don Rumsfeld. Talk about the same old song and dance. That's a Bushism, by the way. George said that about Saddam. And talk about the same old song and dance. Try Tony Blair's statement about Iraq's potential threat. Can you believe that? If Iraq had uranium, it could possibly create a nuclear bomb in 2 to 5 years. It's just urgent, you know. Seems to me if they would send in inspectors, they could actually tell what was really there instead of just making up this stuff, you know. And I understand Saddam has this history and, you know, he's broken some promises, but hey, the United States isn't much better when it comes to being responsible toward the United Nations. Anyway, headline is, the UK dossier reveals an Iraqi threat. Goes on, it says, and this is an excerpt, by the way. This is one of the really bad parts of the dossier. It says, he's tried to acquire, tried, significant quantities of uranium from Africa, despite having no civil program that could need it. Same old song and dance. You'd do well on Sesame Street. It's kind of got that punch, you know. It's the same old song. You could say I'm a little fired up about this. I hope you will be too. It's about time the uncounted votes got counted. And if you're not signed up to vote, this is the time to do it. I know it seems like your vote doesn't count, but if we get to the polls in this election, I guarantee you we can change the future. All you have to do is want it. It's time to pump up the volume. The way I figure it, if we elect enough Democrats, we could impeach these people out of the system. It's time for a house cleaning. We'll call it a power purge. It's like what Jesse Ventura says. If you get out there and register to vote, get involved in the system, the politicians in Washington will be forced to listen. They need your votes. Too bad we have to force them, though. You know, right now it seems like what they think we are is just serfs in the kingdom, subject to their whims. And they're spending. President-elect Gore says, I believe that the resolution that the president has asked Congress to pass is too broad in the authorities it grants and needs to be narrowed severely. Gore's speech came as other Democrats continued to raise questions about the White House's plans for Iraq and as the administration pressed its case against Saddam. Bush has asked Congress for the authorization to take military action against Saddam, but a key Democrat expressed doubts that the administration's argument that Saddam is on the brink of developing nuclear weapons... Yeah, doubts. This is Representative Nancy Pelosi, the House Democratic Whip. She says, as the senior Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, I've seen nothing that says Saddam Hussein has nuclear capability to either develop a weapon or to launch it, and certainly not to launch it to the United States. You're saying it's a threat to the U.S., and that's the justification that takes us down this path. There is no justification for that, the California Democrat said. Donald Rumsfeld says that he's upset because people have released information and discussed American war policy such that it would endanger American lives. He's referring to the fact that they already have 10,000 troops positioned in Kuwait. But that's recent. It's been going on a lot longer than that, you know. It's well concealed, I might add. Check this out. According to Israeli sources, we've actually been at war with Iraq since August. See also from Israel, the situation is extreme and dangerous. U.S., British, French, Netherlands, and Australian troops are already in country in northern Iraq. So Donnie, tell me this. What do you think this war will do? It will kill our young people in the battlefield. It will subject America to increased terror attacks. I know you don't want Americans to know what's really going on. But we're not the ones endangering American lives. You are. I heard one GOP rep say the other day, if all goes well, we'll only lose 200 soldiers. By the way, Donnie, this is America. We have a right to know. You're welcome to move to the Netherlands. Tell you what, guys, let's make it your families first. No more politicians' kids going AWOL, okay? Bush says that Iraq thumbs its nose at the United States nations and the world, then he turns around and says, we'll go alone if we have to. That's not the ultimate form of Bushism. I don't know what is. Accuse everyone else of what you're doing to cover your tracks. It's despicable. Who's thumbing their nose at who, other than me? Bush says it's time for the UN to step up to the plate. It's true. For freedom and peace for the world, I hope the UN steps up to the plate and stops this administration. It's clear all Bush wants is war against Iraq. It's a perfect cover for his lack of any sort of policy having to do with the welfare of the American people. It's despicable, too. Don't allow it. You have the power. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Be sure to write to your reps and inform them of their responsibility to Americans, not George Bush and corporate socialism. I still haven't seen a single piece of legislation out of the Bush administration that does the American people any good as a whole. And Republicans say they already will approve what I call the Bush Doctrine. The latest report is that we'll be ready to attack before Christmas. Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman Carl Levin of Michigan told Fox News Sunday that Republicans and Democrats alike want changes in the wording. Of particular concern is to Levin is the resolution's last line, which authorizes the use of force to defend the national security interests of the United States against the threat posed by Iraq and to restore international peace and security in the region. It's not even limited to Iraq, Levin said, and there's just simply no limits on it. It's a go-it-alone resolution, very unilateral. Levin said that the backing of the United Nations would be essential to any operation to oust Saddam. I want him to look down the barrel of a gun with the world behind it so that it's not just the United States versus Saddam. It's the world versus Saddam, he said. And you know, remember that tax break you got? Well, even it's a scam. Ever heard of the minimum tax? 36 million Americans will be paying more in taxes despite the so-called tax break by 2010. Have you noticed the economy lately? It's kind of like in the dumpers, and it all has to do with profiteering by Bush's friends, the bulk of whom will get away with it. Sure, there will be a few sacrificial corporate officers. I'll bet they won't be friends of King George, though. The stock market is now at its lowest levels in 6 years. They say it all started in the Clinton administration. In a way, it's probably true. Last year or two, but only because they knew that George was coming into power. The Florida fix was in, the tax returns and accounting are done after the fact, and they knew George would be there to cover it for them. It's as simple as that, right, Mr. Kenny Lay? And now they want to spend $200 billion for a superfluous war. Meanwhile, the honest businesses get left to suffer the consequences. And there are plenty of honest businessmen. Lou Dobbs on CNN's Moneyline, he set up this thing called CEO of the Week on his Moneyline program. It's a great idea. Helps to identify the good guys. Take a look at the financial news section, too. Lou must have a real genius working for him. I'll bet he'd be fun to talk to. He's into this other thing called space.com. That is really cool. They have a daily email I get for some reason. Today the subject was about moon missions and moon stations. It's very cool. There's a lot going on in space technology. I'll mention, too, that I don't get paid anything for endorsing CNN. This is my weekly disclaimer. I did 2 years of research and found them to be the most reliable source of news. They have a great website, too. You should check it out. And now, this is my favorite part, the pause that refreshes. I know that I could use a refresher. So I've said numerous times, I want to cause both a renaissance of the arts in the world, a cultural revolution, and a spiritual revolution. It's all about you and I reaching deep into our hearts and looking at the world and deciding what it really is that compels us, what our inner truth is, what we really believe about our purposes in this world, and the way we believe the world really should be. So this would be a good time to close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, and then imagine it's a whole new world, and all you have to do is want it. You can see what it looks like. You can see the beauty and the joy in people's faces. And you can feel the peace it brings you. And all you have to do is want it. And then be the person who would cause it. Now, interestingly enough, we're doing this little thing with some of the hurricanes. With hurricanes, what's important is to cool them down and get the water out of them before they hit land. So there are two to deal with right now that are actually hurricanes, and the third one that's threatening, and that includes Isidore, which, by the way, just hit the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. It was Category 3 storm. Some 800,000 people there are without power. Might want to say a little prayer for them and for us. It's headed for Texas and Louisiana. Right now, more on a path toward Louisiana. And the biggest problem is New Orleans is 10 feet below sea level. And a Category 5 storm could literally turn it into a lake and kill thousands of people, or at least strand them for months without clean water and electricity. It's a potential disaster of biblical proportions, just like what happened in Europe and Asia over the summer. So for the hurricanes, again, take three breaths, visualize a hurricane one at a time, and imagine pouring ice cubes on them to cool them down, and then visualize it raining over the Gulf of Mexico, where it won't do harm, before they hit land. Something to think about. See, I'm a big believer in psychic abilities. It's one of God's gifts that was in the Bible long ago to teach us how to do it, but was removed back in the 1600s. Ever watch The Pet Psychic or Crossing Over? It's definitely compelling. It really actually happens. Let's see. Entertainment for the day. Bruce Springsteen actually turned 53 yesterday. Really, I wasn't going to mention him today. I'm starting to feel guilty about the plugs I'm giving him, but it's such a great album. Reese Witherspoon has a new movie coming out on the 27th called Sweet Home Alabama. She's great. Speaking of great, Heath Ledger's The Four Feathers is in the top five movies for the week. So is My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And a somewhat controversial movie called Barbershop took the top honors at the box office this week. It's interesting. Makes fun of great African-Americans, among other things. It's like a conversation that presents both sides of the spectrum. I'm not actually sure yet if it's good or disrespectful. Nonetheless, you know, a good conversation is a good conversation. Rolling Stones have agreed to give their first live concert for an American television network, a show that will air on HBO in January. And Ray Charles turned 57 yesterday. A little synchronicity on this one. I'd been talking about Billy Preston the other day. Preston originally started out as a singer and keyboard player for his church in Los Angeles. Went on tour with Little Richard, met the Beatles, and cut Let It Be with them. And actually had numerous hits and albums of his own. Was it Hootenanny he was on as the keyboard player? I can never remember if it was that one or another. Anyway, he did a lot of gospel music as well. Funny part is, he really loved Ray Charles. And when he was a child, Preston would sit on the lawn at Ray Charles's house in Los Angeles and listen to Ray play the piano. Billy told me once that he got up the guts to go and knock on Ray's door, and Ray answered, and Billy just ran away. You have to understand, Ray Charles is blind, in case you didn't know that. Preston said one of his dreams was to cut an album with Ray Charles, but I don't think they ever got to it. Yeah, let's see. We'll get back to the news now. A surprising move. The United States was urging Israel to cease its siege of Ramallah. I was hoping that that would include Gaza and all the other Palestinian territories, but apparently it doesn't. Now, why would Bush not want Israel to do this? Because it distracts from the focus of Bush's desire to talk you into going to war. It's that simple. It's always that simple with Bush. And in fact, just moments ago, despite what Fleischer had specified, he had said yesterday that it wasn't about Israel's security, it was about the treatment of the Palestinians. But the U.S. abstained from a U.N. resolution regarding Israel's actions because it didn't include provisions about Israel's security. At least the administration is consistent in its do-as-I-say, not-as-I-do policies. Something you can count on. Now, let's talk about some real American issues that actually should concern us. CDC releases a smallpox vaccination plan. This one makes me nervous. You know, it's like when Ashcroft quit taking commercial flights. You knew something was up. This story comes from the CDC, though, in Atlanta on CNN. Federal health officials have put together guidelines for vaccinating within 5 days the entire U.S. population against smallpox in case of a bioterrorist attack. And you can get the full report at the CNN website, as well as the PDF file of the plan itself. I've been around disasters before, and I just find it really hard to believe that they could do that in 5 days, even if they did it on a limited basis. Let's see, another headline. The White House is cool to German elections. You might remember Schroeder had criticized U.S. policy on Iraq. This comes from John King at CNN. Bush administration reacted coolly Monday to the re-election of German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder after a campaign in which Schroeder staged a major comeback by pointedly and repeatedly criticizing the tough U.S. posture toward Iraq. The voters of Germany have spoken, said National Security Council spokesman Sean McCormick. The United States will work with the German government on issues of common interest. You know, the Justice Minister ended up resigning over her statements that got sort of twisted. She made an innocent, although truthful statement about how George Bush used war to distract people from the economy, just like Adolf Hitler did. Of course, the bully doesn't like it when people talked about him like that, so he acts mad instead of maybe changing his ways a little to benefit people and cause people to respect him. Might makes right. That's his version of respect. And then, back in the U.S., here's an interesting one. Bad air threatens the national parks. It's true. You can check it out on the link above. Actually, the whole transcript of Lou's program yesterday would be worth reading. It says, some of America's national parks are choking on air as polluted as that of Los Angeles, California, or Atlanta, Georgia, according to a report issued by a parks support and lobbying organization. The National Parks Conservation Association compared data from the 10 national parks with the most extensive monitoring programs, then ranked the most polluted parks based on three impacts. They were haze, acid, precipitation, and ground level ozone. The report is titled America's Five Most Endangered National Parks. The pollution in the parks surpasses most major cities. Los Angeles, known for its smog in the last 5 years of the study, ground ozone level in the Smoky Mountain National Park was worse than the ozone level in Los Angeles. In over 11 years, LA is the only city with air quality worse than these five parks. That's worse than cities like Atlanta, Houston, Denver, New York City, Washington, D.C. They all have better air quality than these five national parks. Also in the transcript is a report that talks about how insurance companies and pharmacists get drugs in bulk and then sell them to you at full price and just pocket the difference. And it's a big difference. You pay up to a $20 copay, and they might pay a dollar for the drug. Check that out. It's a real ripoff. There's more to the story, but I'm not going to get into it right now. And I'm going to finish it off tonight with a couple of reports about California, my crazy friends, and now you know where I originally got it. They're doing some pretty smart things, actually. California's Governor Gray Davis signed legislation allowing for paid family leave for state employees. It's the first state to do that. On Sunday, Davis signed legislation allowing for California's embryonic fetal brain cell research, contrary to the Bush administration's wishes. And in my hometown of Santa Cruz, where the feds cut down a marijuana farm, even though under California state law it was legal because it was for medicinal purposes, well, they're going to sue the DEA to get their 130 marijuana plants back. I can just see the agents saying, uh-oh, we shouldn't have smoked it. Something tells me I'll get in trouble for that one. Meanwhile, Nevada's back in the news. They plan to legalize marijuana. Now, we've talked about this before here, and this actually has turned out to be a fairly responsible law. In Nevada, they love gambling and tolerate prostitution. Now they're talking about legalizing pot. That's the headline. A measure on the ballot November 5th would make Nevada the first state to allow adults to possess marijuana, up to 3 ounces, enough for maybe 100 joints. Now, I agree, that's a good amount of marijuana, but people over 21 would be allowed to smoke it in their homes, but not in cars or public. Pot would be sold in state-licensed smoke shops and taxed like cigarettes. Now, that's a responsible way to do it. This initiative will allow the police to spend more time going after murderers, rapists, and other violent criminals, said Billy Rogers, leader of the group that's pushing the measure. I just get this feeling, you know, it's like you could go after all of those kind of bad people, or you could go after a bunch of people smiling with the munchies. Which is worse? Probably, you know, in the minds of Ashcroft and company, it would be the smiling people, because we wouldn't want to have them smiling. All right, I'll let that one go for now. And don't forget, keep thinking about those hurricanes. Really, do that little exercise. It really can have an effect. And imagine what it would look like to see them go away or turn them into lighter storms. It's really important. Just like imagining a whole new world. And that's a wrap. This is Charles at democraticfundamentalism.org.